This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have plenty to get to today. We will talk about some records being set, some Champions League recaps for you. We are moving right along in Champions League, it appears.
Halfway home in the group stage.
That's exactly right. One of our favorite coaches of all time is doing a thing that is right on brand for him. So we will get into that coming
up. My guy, too.
Yeah, it's Jose Mourinho, just to give you a little tease.
I am Jose Mourinho.
He's doing very Jose Mourinho things, and I'm here for it. And I will miss him when he's not coaching.
Same.
Not my team. I don't want him coaching my team necessarily. Although, if it was the U.S. national team, I would have laughed.
What if it was the crew? What if he said, you know what? Messi came over to MLS.
Oh, my God.
Wilfried Nancy for some reason. Maybe he takes a bigger job.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he goes over
sure.
And coaches at like Benfica, or maybe he's coaching Lyle at some point in the future.
Right.
And
yeah.
Jose Mourinho says, I'm coming to Columbus.
I think I would, man, I don't
like
want it
Caleb
that bad.
Porter
I don't want it. I don't want it that bad.
Yeah.
I don't want it that bad. I want to watch, you know who I want him to coach? I want him to coach Toronto FC.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Vancouver. It would be nice.
Yeah, Vancouver. There you go. Your other team. That's great. Speaking of Canada, by the way, before we get going, we will talk plenty of crew playoff action. You and I, before the show, were discussing top Canadian television programs.
Mm-hmm.
Program. Yeah. I definitely think Letterkenny is in the mix for me.
Okay.
And by default, Shoresy, because if you haven't seen either of those, please go check them out. They're very worth your time. If you enjoy fun, clipped Canadian accents, biting insults, and random discussions about genitalia, which
everybody enjoys that.
Yeah. But like the Shoresy chirps videos, just go watch a couple of those on YouTube and just, you know, give your balls a tug. And that, like, the whole vernacular just makes me laugh all the time.
For me, it was Trailer Park Boys.
Like Trailer Park Boys is
it's
great.
It's hands down. It gets, the first time I watched Trailer Park Boys, I'm like, this is the dumbest show I have ever seen in my entire life. And then I binge watched it like one Saturday afternoon. And I'm like, this is the dumbest show that I've ever watched in my entire life. But it is the funniest thing that I've ever watched.
Oh, dude, I don't know what has happened to me, but the Canadian sense of humor, I guess, for whatever reason, has really got me lately. Like, it's like I was saying, the Shoresy stuff where it's, you know, oh, we got pump five goose in the no show. Like, it's just that little hockey vernacular's fun, but also everything's going up, eh? As we're saying some really rude stuff to you, eh? Like that whole.
That's why I call
talking,
every
so, I enjoy.
Like I do the when we do the show, I call everybody Bud because I'm like that's a huge thing in Trailer Park Boys. I'm like, hey Bud,
yeah,
Bud. And I think it's so funny.
Oh, it got like I can't work it in because I'm not anywhere close to being Canadian. But if I were, I would use pitter patter all the time. Pitter patter, let's get at her.
Yeah.
You know, like just I love it. I think that's great. Another one that I really like. Now this is going back a little ways. Red Green Show.
Is that the guy where they like built random stuff?
It was the idea of the show was it was on, I think it was on Canadian public television.
Yeah.
I know it was on PBS in the States, but the idea was it was a bunch of guys who ran an old lodge like that you would travel to get away from it all. And they all wore like plaid shirts and suspenders, the guy who worked there. But
I remember the plaid shirts very distinctly.
It was Red Green was the main guy. And he had like a beard and a little cap and he looked like he knew how to work on everything. And that was kind of one of the running gags of the show. He was the main host. And then there was his nephew.
Green Red.
No, his nephew's name is escaping me, but he was like the nerd who basically produced the television show that you were watching. So it was a little bit of fourth wall breaking and all that, but they had a quote unquote studio audience. So he would come out and give like a monologue, like a late night show.
Harold Green.
Harold. Yes. Yeah, Uncle, this is my nephew, Harold. And then he's like, hey, Uncle Red. Like, yeah, that's it. That's 100%. Now I'm getting it all back. So then he had all these bit players that came in. And it was just, you could tell some of it was improv. But one of their running bits was, you know, like, handyman, secret weapon, duct tape. And they would show you how to, like, you got a problem with your truck? Let me show you how to fix it.
Yeah.
And then it would always be some jerry-rig, not real, do not do this. It was for comedy, but it was good. Anyway, very stupid. I'm sure it has very problematic elements because it was made 100 years ago, but yeah, those are some Canadian television shows I've always enjoyed.
And shout out to the greatest TV host of all time. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek, also Canadian.
You're right.
I love that man.
Alex Trebek was a genius. Just when he would take someone down on Jeopardy,
yeah,
which there are very few, of course, when would he ever do that, right? But there was, I remember one specific one that got viral where a woman said she was into nerdcore yes. rapping, and she was like describing it or whatever she was. He's like, yeah, they rap. And he's like, the losers, basically.
Yeah, losers is what they're called.
Just cold as ice, man. Right there, right through the heart. And of course, yes, we can't disavow the Strange Brew, Kids in the Hall, for those who go back even
Degrassi.
Further. Yeah, there were, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. Drake.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
That's right.
Man. Or Johnny. Jimmy. I don't know. I never watched Degrassi. You know, Degrassi?
He's doing okay for
himself.
He's
turned out just fine.
He's turned out okay. Yeah. He's made some cash.
I would say.
Yeah.
So Feel free to come on the podcast, Drake, if you want to discuss.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Talk about Toronto FC.
And Vancouver. Whitecaps.
I will say this. Of the cities, I've been to Toronto. I've not been to Vancouver. And I feel guilty every day that I've not been to Vancouver. Because I went to Seattle, loved the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. Vancouver, my sister-in-law lived there and said, while she likes Seattle, they loved Vancouver.
Wow.
And they moved back because she got a job there and her girlfriend also had a job there. So they're back in Seattle now, but they loved Vancouver. So
I'd like
I got
to go
get
out
there.
I would also love to visit Montreal. Like, well, I would love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. I know. My hesitation there is I have zero French-speaking background. Like, going to countries where Spanish is the primary language, yeah.
You're okay.
I took some Spanish, so at least I could recognize root words and mm-hmm. get a general sense of if it's pointing that way and it says this, then I might think, biblio is in the word.
Library.
That might be book-related. Yeah. Let's try that, you know, if that's what we were looking for. So, yeah, but I'm just... French is what scares me because I have no French speaking
and when
background.
I don't know if you feel this way either, but whenever I hear someone speaking in French, like, you know, we listen to,
Wilfried Nancy.
Yeah, Wilfried Nancy.
With his French
Pascal
accent,
Vincent,
obviously.
Like,
yeah,
you know, coaches here, like, in Columbus
yeah,
that are, like.
French-speaking accents. Yeah.
French-speaking accents. Like, the accent I get. I'm like, I can understand the accent. And I think a lot of that is because of the soccer that we watch. And you're hearing press conferences in all kinds of different languages or guys initially speaking like German, but they're speaking an accent. Like, I can pick up on what's being said. When I hear French, I hear nothing. Everything sounds the exact same to me.
Oh, everything sounds beautiful. It's like German, but comfortable. German puts me at odds. Like, every time I hear someone speaking, they could be saying something romantic in German, but it's such a harsh sounding language.
Ich liebe dich. That
yes.
means I love you.
Ich liebe dich. Yes. What's, I know bread and water is Brot is bread. Is that right?
Brot and Wasser.
Wasser. Brot and Wasser. Uh-huh. Like, which is just, that's harsher than everything you hear in French. Again, it also tends to just flow more. It just, I don't know, feels beautiful and nice. But it's usually said with a clipped like, yeah. and you're like, oh, crap. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's mad at me. I don't know. Shoot. So I feel bad whenever I hear that. So I feel like I would go to Montreal and be like, where's the poutine? And they would be like, ugh. Yeah, I just feel like everything would be like, every reaction, every interaction I would have would just be, ugh.
Yeah. You know what, man? I'm paying good money to be here.
Hey, Joey Saputo, no bueno, right?
And then it's like,
no, that's not this language.
Deal with it, your paper fake money.
They do have beautiful money in other countries.
It feels weird. Feels
odd.
It's very plastic.
Our money is so mid. Like, to use a term the kids are using, it's just, ugh.
Except for the Benji. The Benji's pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm saying we don't have different sizes. We have no color schemes, really, other than, like, I guess we're throwing a little bit of anti-counterfeit stuff. I'm just saying, when's the last time you got something that was blue and pink and you could go use it to buy something? Not here. Not doing that. Unless it's, like, strip club dollars. You're not.
Tell me more about it. You sounds like you know a lot about it.
Lydell Ross, my guy. Back
the last time you've seen a $2 bill.
Right. But they exist. I'm just saying.
Only in strip clubs.
Our money's boring. That's what I'm saying. Let's fix our money. Let's get some highlighter colors in there. Let's really go at it. And I say every 10 years, every presidential election, new president redesigns the money.
Yeah.
Let's go.
To whatever they want.
I'm not saying like you can have like changing the value of it. I'm just saying, you know, we're doing fuchsia. This is what we've got going on. These are the fuchsia bills from President such and so.
Right.
Like, that's great. That's your stamp. It's like having a presidential library. It's like, oh, this dollar came from the Reagan administration or from the Bush administration or from the Clinton administration. That's it.
Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, well, you got a Hoover dollar there, don't you?
That's worth less because of the Depression.
Yeah, it was. It was bad. Look at you with the history.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We've delayed not long enough. I'm sorry that we do this every time. Or I'm not.
How's your tattoo?
It's getting to the peely stage. It's not quite there yet, but here, I'll show it to you. You can look at it from
across the way. Bone is
this
unraveling.
This is good podcasting. Now, again,
unraveling
it's
his
dry.
Arm.
It's oh, very
it's nice.
Dry. It's big.
Yeah.
But it's got...
it looks good.
It's got some flowers on it. There's a dagger.
Nice little blue in there, some red. Yeah, it really pops.
Yeah, it'll pop more once it's all not... Like, it's all... You can see it's kind of flaking and dry.
It looks great.
But, shut up. It looks awful right now. It looks like it's...
Well, how am I supposed to know?
I'll show you a picture of it when it's actually like. I'll show you when it's all
cleaned up. Show me with your arm.
Yeah,
you
I'm saying
have to show
I have
of
pictures
it.
Of when it actually was done and it looked like it looked super bright because it was just there.
It looks great. It looks great.
90 minutes. My buddy Eric James, EJ Tattoo on Instagram. Go look him up. Or no, E James Tattoo on Instagram. Anyway, I follow him. Just go on my Instagram at Degenerate T-Bone. You'll see pictures. We're tagged in a post
it
together.
Looks good.
You can find it.
Looks good.
90 minutes. And it was, I think I did it for, I'll tell you the cost. It was like $450.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, it's a little pricey to
it's
get a tattoo, but
it's a big tattoo.
It's my whole forearm, yeah. My inside forearm. So, but 90 minutes, man, it hurt, but it got it done quick. And that's what, if it's going to hurt, let's get it done quick. That's what I say. But it's American traditional style. So if you know that style of tattoo, yeah, maybe cool. You can kind of picture it. But yeah, there's pictures up on Twitter and Instagram at Degenerate T-Bone, wherever you go to those. If I remember, I'll tweet it out from Bone Beam United, but, I'll probably forget because I'm dumb. That's how that goes. Mm-hmm. If the Crew win MLS Cup, should I get a Crew tattoo?
Yes.
Beamer.
On
okay.
your throat.
Ooh.
Okay. Throat tat.
I was going to say, I would do one, like the soccer player tattoo where you get it over your heart, like where the crest is. I would consider doing that. And I have thought about doing it with the old logo. But
get
I have so much.
Get the carabiner.
No. I do have the old, but I have the old logo, or I could see getting the old, the circle logo.
Yeah.
I guess I could get the hard hat one too, because they won one with that and they've won one with the circle. I don't think I'll ever get that carabiner logo.
I don't think you can.
I don't think I could.
I think for every MLS Cup that they win, you just get another Crew tattoo.
Oh, you know what would be badass? Get a place on, like maybe on your wrist or something. I could go get the two stars.
Yeah.
And then every time they get another star. That's. Now, that's an idea.
Look at us coming up with ideas on the fly.
I like that a lot. Okay. Well, I got to keep some space because I hope they're going to win some more.
Same.
The the opportunity to win that starts this weekend or this coming week, next Wednesday, right?
Should have been this weekend.
But. Yeah. Why did we get drawn with this? It's Atlanta that we're playing. 3-game set. I think everybody listening to us knows this. Yep. Best of three. So hopefully they just play
straight
two.
To penalties if there is if the game
if
is it, not
if it's
decided.
Tied after 90 and stoppage. Then it goes no 30-minute extra time. Yeah. They go right to penalties to settle a winner,
yep.
And then best of three. So
I have a question for you. Does it go to extras in the – let's say if it's tied in the third game.
I don't think
so. Does it go straight to penalties?
I think it's straight to penalties for all three games to have it settled the same way,
I believe. And then the next round
– it's back to being soccer again.
Okay.
You know, it's the best way I can say that.
If there was only a way – to that has been done before in soccer where you have two teams going head to head to be able to decide who moves on to the next round. If there was only a two-leg fixture that existed in world soccer that we could all put our heads together and think about, that maybe would have been a good idea.
Do you know why we are in this situation? It's because
Messi.
it's Lionel Messi's fault. I agree. It is. I blame him. No, it is this is the problem. And you know this, Beam, because you've been around MLS enough now, and certainly longtime MLS fans know this too. But if you have always wondered, why is MLS dumb? The answer is because they're trying to do a world sport in America, is the best way I can say that. They have always tried to keep the American sports traditions and then also do it in a way that translates to soccer. The earliest versions of this were like, hey, we're playing soccer, so that's the world's game. But we don't want to end in a tie because America. So let's have a tiebreaker where we have guys running at the goalkeeper with a shot clock.
Yeah.
No joke. To
I've seen the videos.
Yeah. To settle it and not have ties, basically. They wanted, and this is in the regular season.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do a regular penalty kick because that would take forever. So instead it was like, let's have a guy run from midfield and the goalie can come out as far as he wants. He doesn't have to stay on his line. And then it's like cut off the angle. It was more like a hockey shootout.
Yeah.
Essentially where the goalie can come off his line and do something. And that's what they tried to make happen with soccer. And then in MLS, that was dumb. But every playoff thing since then, you know, a lot of the innovations they've had, it's always, well, we want to reward the team that wins the regular season, so we're going to give them home field advantage. There we go. Easy enough. They host the first game and they host, you know, whatever game they win after that. It's one game playoff or, you know, one game per round.
Yep.
Then, of course, the owners are like, we were in like third and didn't get a playoff game. What about us? We didn't any, no home games. Oh, yeah. Well, we want to give home games to all the coaches, all the man or the teams, because, hey, we want their fans to get rewarded for that. So make the playoffs, you get a home game. Now we do a two-leg playoff. Well, hey, hang on. We were the first team. We didn't actually get home field advantage, which is the thing they do in all sports in America. And it's like, all right, home field advantage. We forgot.
Now we're going to a three-legger.
That's kind of where we're at with this.
I know. It's stupid, though.
So I know that was a very long explanation to say MLS is dumb.
Yeah.
And I will say they are. But they're dumb, but they're also trying to, like, merge two things that don't really fit together.
Last year it was one-off.
Yeah.
The year before that was a two-leg. This year it's a three-leg. Like
yeah.
Every year
they've changed
it.
The playoffs so many times. It would be good. I'm sure someone has done it. Count up all the times in Major League Soccer history that the postseason format has changed, other than just saying, instead of four teams, we're going to six or eight. But outside of that, I'm talking about the actual what you have to do to advance mm-hmm. has changed. It has to be 12 times at least in the 24, 25 years this league's been around. So,
oh, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's a joke. So it's frustrating. I'm just telling you that's why. Because they're trying to satisfy everybody, and they're satisfying no one. Because then most of the soccer fans are like, this isn't like Europe. Right?
We're not Europe.
I know it's not, but also yeah. I get why people say that, because it's like, well, they have a system called Champions League that's really, really successful. Why don't we just do that? And then, of course, the owners are like, we want to have home field advantage. The teams are like, we should get a home field advantage. Why should the 8 seed get the same home field games as the 1 seed? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. And I do get that. It's almost like having 8 teams in your playoff is too many.
Right.
It's almost like maybe you should just treat it like soccer and not have a big playoff. But they want the TV dollars. They want all. Yeah. So it is complicated.
We also got screwballed because of the fixtures.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they did that to Atlanta. But
yeah.
Yeah. Because we could have had a weekend game here, right?
Well, yeah. The first playoff game start on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, the knockout, not the knockout. Well, yeah, I guess technically this is the knockout rounds, but the first MLS playoff games start on Saturday. And I think since he has an 8 o'clock Sunday game, there is maybe one Monday game or a couple of Monday games. And then there's a day off and then it's Wednesday for us. I'm like, we're the only game that's on Wednesday. Game that is on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, here's what I can tell you that has probably a twofold reason. One is MLS is thinking, let's highlight one of our marquee quote unquote franchises in Atlanta. Let's put them on
the lower seed.
Well, they're probably thinking we can get a big number because Atlanta is a big market. Let's put them on Wednesday so people will watch there will be more people watching an MLS game than on average, right?
Yeah.
Especially when they have to compete against the NBA, the NHL. And also they're probably thinking we don't want to put Atlanta, or we want to avoid as many big markets as we can on Sundays because of NFL. So like Cincinnati, I'm guessing, I don't remember, Bengals are not playing Sunday night.
They're playing Sunday afternoon. FC Cincinnati's 8 o'clock on Sunday.
Right. So they put that game at night to say, we know the Cincinnati fans, they're going to have a tough time getting, you know, around town. So let's give them a night game. And I'm sure Cincinnati probably was like, we'd like a night game or not up against the Bengals game, please. We want to have our fans there.
Yeah.
So that's a way to accomplish that. I acknowledge MLS has a complicated thing there, but it just sucks for us fans because we'd like to see our teams.
Philly and New England,
times.
Who you're higher than in the table,
yeah,
they get the 5 o'clock Saturday game. Like that would have been perfect for us.
Yeah, I'm wondering how does that work for when do those two Philly New England? When's their second game?
Their second game is so they have their first game on Saturday. Philly New England. Their next game is then Wednesday, November 8th. They are the first game of the first games,
wow.
And then the last game of game number twos.
Wow. Okay. So that actually makes some sense then. So what they are basically doing there is saying, because I was wondering, like, well, how are they going to get an advantage? So no one's happy with this.
No, nobody's happy.
Because I was thinking, if they're going to get done and we're like, we haven't even played our second game yet, and they're already done and resting,
yeah.
And you have to play, like, Cincinnati, I think, is not who they're not in our bracket. Our next opponent would be Orlando if right. Orlando holds serve, right? So, like, if Orlando got to wait for days on end
so
while we're
Orlando
still playing.
So, Orlando plays Monday. They okay. play coming up on Monday, and then they play Tuesday the same day as the Crew do.
Okay. So, that could be, like, both
teams.
So,
it's a Wednesday, Tuesday, Sunday for us.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, two weeknight games for playoffs is tough, but at least if we get the deciding game, if there has to be a game three, it'll be on a weekend.
Sunday evening.
You know that'll be pretty packed, I'm guessing. So, I mean, packed. It'll be sold out. They're all sold out.
It's sold out. The game, this playoff game already sold out in 2 hours.
Dude, I tried. I actually was going on to look for tickets, and I didn't. I just saw they had been on sale, and I'm like, oh, sweet. And everything I looked at instantly was, like, gone. Like, I would select it, and then it would get into my cart. It would be a little wheel of death. And then it would say, sorry, the seats you're looking for are unavailable. I felt like a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is what it's like, I guess.
By the way, also with us jumping New England Philly for third place.
Yeah.
The Crew qualified for Champions League for next year.
That is so massive, man. And that was something I had forgotten completely about till a few people were tweeting about it. But yeah, they changed it up this year where I guess you can win the Champions. You can win CONCACAF Champions Cup, right? Is what they're calling it now. Champions League is essentially what it is. And not be guaranteed the next year that you're going to make it in.
That's dumb.
It is dumb. But they're trying to give more teams an opportunity in MLS. And I do like the idea that now this system that Wilfried Nancy has put together, dude, that is a system that can win in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
Like the way that this team plays can win. So this playoff is important. They have to continue looking at this as we are building to win trophies. I know that was a Caleb Porter line, but that should be the goal of this team.
Yeah.
And it is. But I would love it if we got to, like, I want some more meaningful Champions League
knockout
games here.
Rounds.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the fact that we got to play some big-time teams before in this, but let's stay in Champions League. I want that to be this is the new, like, the Crew we should be as a top-four team in the East every year, contending for a Supporters' Shield most years, I'd like to say, at least through July, August. Mm-hmm. And then tough in the playoffs and a really good CONCACAF U.S. Open team. I want it all. I don't want to be this, like, we focus on one competition.
Treble winners?
Screw that. I want to be tough in everything. And then if we see that, like, hey, we got a good draw in the Open Cup and our CONCACAF draw is terrible.
Let's go for the CONCACAF.
let's try to go win that Open Cup, right? Year by year, I understand. But I want to be a tough out in everything, and hopefully we can sneak through and maybe win one of those. Like, I'd love to win a CONCACAF Champions League, man. Imagine FIFA World Cup. Like, or the FIFA World Cup, why did I say? Yeah, FIBA. It's a, yeah. The
No, FIBA's FIFA, basketball. FIFA Club World
FIFA
Cup.
FIFA Club
you,
World
Jesus,
Cup.
You just confused me, too.
I confused myself.
FIFA World Cup, I'm like, wow.
Could you imagine if we got to play, like, Erling Haaland line up against the Crew? Let's go.
Manchester City against your Columbus Crew.
My God. That would. And then Alexander Mattan and him just, like, lined up next to each other on a free kick.
How about Alexander Mattan next to Vinny playing Real Madrid?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Who would you cheer for? I mean, your guys are Real Madrid.
You know who I'm cheered for. I'm black and gold. I'm only getting tattoos of one soccer team. I may have some jerseys of other ones, but I've only got tattoos of one. But Vinny, my guy.
My guy, too.
Good.
I love
him. Good. All right. So Atlanta, tough. We've seen this Crew team take them on a couple different times, though, and showed we can get it done. Remember Adam John and shut him up. Going to win this game. We're going to win two games. We're going to win them back to back. It's going to be.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're going to get them in two games. Not three.
Good playoff history, too. Zach Steffen with, like, the game of his life against Atlanta.
Amazing.
Down there.
Yeah, we have some. I mean, for sure, those Atlanta fans, and this is what
it's
I
good.
Like.
It's good.
They're gonna remember the times the Crew have broken their hearts and been tough outs for them. And so they're going to want this. They're going to be riled up for that game the following Tuesday from this coming Wednesday. So, yeah, I do like that they're spaced out a little bit. We get some time to process and really get everybody healthy. And that should be a good thing, right? Hopefully you get as good a health. Like Diego Rossi's been dealing with a knock. Hopefully he can be back and ready to go.
Good rest time for Darlington, too.
Like, yep. Yeah,
he's been fresh.
Yeah. Well, him and Aiden both. Yep. Like, they've got to, you know, those two are going to be key. Aiden Morris was so huge when they won MLS Cup a few years ago, and Darlington was up until in those playoffs till he got hurt. Yep. But, yeah, man, those guys are, they're key. You're going to need
COVID for the final, Darlington?
Yeah, he wasn't injured. You're right. He had COVID. Pedro Santos, too. I either had COVID or was injured, but both those guys missed it, unfortunately, which was, they were both key and great. And, shout out to Artur, who was also just a beast in that World Cup or that World Cup. Good God. What am I, a beat reporter for Chicago? In that MLS Cup playoff.
Hey, man. Thanks for all. Thanks for your service. LeBron James of soccer.
I know, of course, Artur is no longer here, but he's still here in my heart.
Shout out to Eric Etienne, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So many good dudes. I can't wait for the reunion tour when they bring all those guys back and
Eric
have them
Etienne flying for Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. But I'm saying like 10 years from now after everyone's retired, then bring those guys back. That game, that tribute match will be something. All right, so we'll have more to say on that obviously next week once we see the result of that game. We'll take a break when we come back. Talk about one of our favorite managers of all time, Jose Mourinho, doing Jose Mourinho things. That's next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. You can tweet the show at Bone Beam United. I will tell you this. I have nothing official yet. There's nothing fully there or anything, but a goal for 2024 is to get some kind of, and I'm not trying to do this to sell things or to make money. I would like No, I'm genuinely saying Beamer is, but I'm just, I want this,
this
to happen.
This is why you and I got into this.
Into
the podcasting business was to make a lot of money.
Goal for next year is to get some Bone and Beam United merchandise. And I want it to be quality and I want it to be really good.
United by Gucci.
You know what? And if it can be like as close to cost as, like, I don't want it to be something to gouge people. I would genuinely like for people, if I know we don't have the biggest audience in the world, but for those of you who listen, if you would like to have something like a t-shirt or a mug or a scarf or whatever, like, let us know some things you'd like to see. Cause we're not going to have 20 things again. We're not trying to become like some corporatized, here's all this crap you can buy from us. No, I genuinely get it. We have an audience that, though, probably we could probably sell a couple dozen shirts or a couple dozen coffee mugs or whatever. I don't know what people want. So if there's something you'd like us to do, tweet us at Bone Beam United. We'd love to know, because that's something I was already looking at a little bit just yesterday. I was trying to just get some ideas of what to do, and we know some people around town who make things. We need to talk to them. I've been trying to set that up for a while, too. So we'll get on.
Sounds like your plate's pretty full right now.
Yeah, but you know what I'm the king of is going back for seconds. My plate isn't even finished, and I'm already back in the buffet line, my friend. So why not? Let's just keep it going.
A lot of irons in the fire right now.
Yeah.
Well,
so do you. You got baby Billy out there cruising around. How's the crawling going? Is he getting that done yet?
I'm swiftly realizing how unprepared my home is for him to be moving.
It's a thing.
He was rolling around the other day, and we're close, man. We're close. He's kind of getting up on all fours. Like, he's starting to do the plank position, and then he's getting up on all fours and, like, rocking back and forth. So, I mean, it could be any day now, but if you leave the room for 5 seconds, like, he's on the other side of the room. He had an electrical wire in his hand the other day. I was getting ready to
that's fun.
Bite into it. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm like, you can't get there that fast.
No.
And then unbeknownst to me, like from underneath of our TV stand where I thought it was hidden, this dude just had an electrical cord in his hand, getting ready to put it in his mouth. And I'm like screaming and panicking. I'm like, okay, well, that's bad. And then I start looking around. I'm like, that's a death trap. That's a death trap.
This is no good. Here's where you start to know you're really in it is when you look at the coffee table or any end tables and realize these could be trips to the hospital. I've got to put corner guards like they have on NBA backboards, the little corner things, because guys could, like, LeBron could hit his head because he's going to jump a million feet in the air. You have to have those on your end tables now. Welcome to the new world, my friend.
It's been awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, see, we both got stuff on our plate.
That's right.
That's why nothing gets done.
Mine's just a little 22-pound ball of meat. That's just what he is.
I'll tell you, though, man, he is a cute little ball, man. He is something. He's hilarious.
He's pretty cool, too. He's starting to get a little more personality. Like, it's been a lot more fun.
That's a good time.
Like, as we would get off the podcast or I would get off the show and Meredith's at work, and so, like, we have a nanny that comes to our house, and then when she – don't say it.
Must be nice.
Don't – yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
Fran Drescher's at your house.
That's right.
Protesting against writer's wages. Yes.
So she's there from, like, 7 o'clock, usually until – when I get home, like 9:30 or 10. Now, it's usually a little bit later on Thursdays for soccer podcast day. And so, like, the first, you know, couple of weeks that started where, like, Meredith went back to school, I'm, like, terrified to go home. I'm like, I'm scared to spend, like, the entire day. What am I going to do with him, you know? Or, like, that's, like, man, it's the first time Meredith's leaving the house for, like, 6 months. And, like, I don't know what to do. And now, like, it's kind of like flipped in my mind. I'm like, I look actually forward to getting off work and going and spending some time.
Once you figure out that you're essentially like the activities coordinator on a Carnival cruise,
yeah.
That's what parenting is. You are just, how do I keep everybody busy and deal with the customer service issues mm-hmm. when things yeah. aren't going well? That's 90% of parenting, is just keeping your kids active and being around for them. And yeah, I mean, you obviously have to give them some life lessons there too, but that part's the real parenting you think
I'll bite into that electrical wire and get shocked. That'll be the life lesson.
That's what everybody shows you on a TV show or commercials. Like, that's what you think parenting is. It's 10%,
yeah.
9% of parenting. The rest of it is all like, how do I keep these damn kids busy
and alive?
And alive. Yes. How do I have, yes, let's not run the ship into an iceberg,
yeah.
and let's make sure no one falls overboard, but we got to keep the shuffleboard going because they're going to want that. We got to keep the pool clean because they're going to need to swim.
Happy hour starts at 5
Happy hour starts at 5. You cannot miss happy hour, right? It's got to go. It's got to be on schedule. So good luck with all that. All right, Jose Mourinho, speaking of keeping things on time, they were late in their game.
Yeah, against Monza.
Monza, yes. Famous F1 track in Monza, too, for whatever it's worth. So in this game, they are, Roma's tied up 0-0 going into stoppage time. They get, or was it 90th minute where they scored?
They scored in the 90th.
Okay. Roma scored in the 90th minute. And of course, when you're in a tie game late, what does every soccer player do when they score a goal? They immediately run to the corner flag. The one that scores to go ahead, they're at the corner flag. They're celebrating. They are praying to their God of whatever. And yeah. they are seeing every fan they've ever, and they're taking their good old time getting back to the middle, yeah. right? And the referee's kind of staring at him and trying to give him their time.
Come on.
But he's doing the little wave, like, get back over here.
Yeah.
What is the other team doing? They're obviously
immediately grabbing the ball and putting it in the center
yep,
circle.
Yep. They're getting it right back to the center circle. Yeah. Well, the ball kids for Roma did not quite allow that to happen for Monza. They were purposefully being, what's the word? Obfuscating their attempts.
Nice one.
Trying to keep the ball away from them.
And
not,
when the ball was going out of bounds, like usually you see a ball boy, either if it's for their own team, I mean, they're hurling at it at yeah. record speed, like get it in. And the most famous one was Liverpool against Barcelona, the comeback, right? The Divock Origi
yeah.
goal, where it's like Jurgen Klopp knew that they were uh-huh. wasting time on corners. And that was like, get the ball in, boom. And like, of course, Liverpool comes back to win that famous tie. But there have been times where other teams have been like, well, don't give them the ball so quick.
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it a Chelsea player? Someone like kicked a ball boy. I don't remember like that, but like he was like holding onto the ball and the player was like, no, give me the ball. Like I need that. And the ball boy was like unwilling to let that go. So like it's been a thing where there's been a directive for a long time to like tell your ball boys, hey, either know what's going on in the game, give me the ball when I need it, or if another team's going in, like fumble it, bumble it around and just kind of pitter patter. Yeah. Another word of the day you wish you could use.
Let's get at her.
But yeah, this is like so perfect quality Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, it is, man. And I'll tell you, we had this Michigan cheating scandal, right, in college football.
Did we?
It's been a thing we've talked about on our other shows. I'm not trying to rehash it all here. But I will say in general, I am a fan of if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Mm-hmm. Push the rules in sports. I'm not talking about your taxes. All right, calm down. Like, don't take my advice on anything actually legal. But we're talking about sports. This is fun. This is goofing around. It's multi-billion-dollar industries where people are just goofing around. And we like it. It is. You're throwing a pigskin through a, into an end zone that's marked by little orange pylons where now Nickelodeon has SpongeBob
comically
exploding.
Comically large guys wearing comically small uniforms.
Yes, that's exactly right. Soccer has its own comic hilariousness to it, right? I mean, you have every time a guy gets breathed on, he's rolling around on the ground. Unless he's down, unless the team's down, then he pops right back up and is, unless it's in
players
the box.
Players laying down on the ground behind walls. To
yes.
Stop.
It's all hilarious and stupid, and they're all paid multi-bajillions of dollars to do this. I like
new
the fact.
Goofing.
Let me good call. That's a Reno 911, and I'm here for it. Listen, I am also here for weaponizing the ball kids.
Yes.
If your team is well coached, that includes the ball kids, in my opinion. Now, obviously, it's up to the refs to cut that out. But if your strategy involves the ball kids and you've got them doing it, and the refs not stopping it, that's on you. That's on the ref, and that's on the other team. Don't let the ball go out of bounds. You know, what's the, you referenced there was one where like a ball kid, I know one time took a little long to get the ball to a guy, and he was kind of clapping at him, like, give me the ball. And the kid didn't throw it quick enough. So the next time the guy came, he didn't even have to put his hands up, and this kid threw it at his junk.
Yeah.
And then, it's one of my all-time favorite ball kid moments.
Boom!
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But no, that Liverpool, we talked about it when that game happened, where those ball kids looked like the Harlem Globetrotters, man. It was like the ball's moving. Yeah, they had a system where every time the ball went out, yeah, like guys are running. They're not even to the touchline, and they're getting a chest pass right to the numbers so they could set up in perfect three-point stance if they wanted to hit a J. I'm just saying, like, it was great. It was fantastic to watch that.
Mechanized
so,
ball, boys.
Yes, let's go.
Print off T-shirts for 2024.
Weaponized ball kids.
And weaponizing ball kids.
That's right. Well, put that on a shirt. Let's go. I'm here for that. I'm just saying, I like it that Jose's doing this.
Weaponized ball kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they
hey,
put Wolfram a soccer
Nazi,
ball in.
You want to call into the show?
Dude,
you need
I'll
some
tell
advice?
You, I'll tell you what right now. We got all those Crew Academy kids. That's who should be your ball kids. You should have your academy players being the ball boys. One, they get to be on the field and see it. Two, they are part of the team. They feel like they're contributing. Three, they know exactly what needs to happen.
Kevin Molino, ball.
Yeah, actually, Kevin Molino would find a way to, like, not get the ball to our guys, but he would, like, instantly give it right to their guys as they're trying to score to tie it up.
God.
I want him nowhere near a soccer ball that involves a Crew game.
No.
Put it out there. All right, Champions League. Let's talk about it. This Erling Haaland guy, good. I saw he hadn't scored in 5 Champions League matches, I believe. Well, that ended. He roofed one that was just a beautiful, I mean, just wicked power, off the dribble, no hesitation from him. And that helped them defeat Young Boys on, was that on the road? Because this is saying on mine, it's saying that it looked like Man City's the away team, but look at that stadium. I thought, I couldn't tell. I should know better where they played that game. They played it at Young Boys Stadium, which, do you know the name of it?
Young Boys Stadium.
No.
No.
Wankdorf.
No, it's not.
Dude,
Young
I'm lying,
Boys,
I'm dying.
Young Boys and Wankdorf.
Jesus. Bern, Switzerland, the home of Young Boys.
Stadion Wankdorf.
Yeah, Stadion Wankdorf.
That's where the Young Boys are.
Okay. By the way, there are multiple Young Boys teams, if you're not aware of this.
Yeah.
In Argentina, there's also Newell's Young Boys.
And this one is...
This is the Swedish team.
Yeah.
So obviously, they're in Europe. That's how they can play in this Champions League. But yeah, all right. Anyway, 3-1 winners, Manchester City.
Yeah, Haaland's a pen merchant, obviously.
Yeah, but he also got the goal he got that one in the box that was not, that was
he's
not
a freak.
Penalty.
He's a freak. There's nothing left for me to say.
Yeah. Your guys, Manchester United, getting it done against Copenhagen.
Just as we all predicted, Harry Maguire scoring the game-winning goal and Andre Onana saving a penalty in like the 98th minute.
Boy.
Just as everybody thought.
Well, you know what's funny was in the NFL, it seems like the last couple of weeks, it's been a little bizarro world where you've had rando games that made no sense.
Yeah.
Like Browns and Colts had like a million points. Mm-hmm. No one saw that coming. All kinds of random stuff. I feel like that's somewhat leaked over into Champions League, right? Because that
drunk.
Is that was totally drunk. Not that I expected them to lose to Copenhagen, but certainly in the wheel of possibilities for Manchester United this season.
I did expect them to lose to them.
Well, I know you did, but I'm saying that's not necessarily what should be happening. I just didn't think the way it would happen was Harry Maguire would be the savior and your goalkeeper that everyone has been just given up on, basically.
And then the week
makes
before that,
a great save and a penalty.
Scott
situation.
McTominay having to score back 2 goals in like a 90-second span to go from losing to outright winning.
I know. Insane. This is
big money players are stepping up.
Yeah, so that's been fun.
I was a little surprised that Dortmund beat Newcastle. I mean,
that was
a little surprising to me.
Yeah, man. Dortmund is not certainly, I don't think they're at the height of their powers as of right now. They could get there again this year. They could be back, but they're not what they are usually.
Well, just think about the last
at that quality that they've been
3 seasons for them and who they've had on their team and who they've lost. I mean, going back 3 years, you had Jadon Sancho leave for Manchester United. Like, he was playing out of his mind when he was there. Now it's a totally different story that, you know, he went to United and then that's up in flames. You have to think last year, right? I mean, Erling Haaland moving on from Dortmund, like that was the thing. Erling Haaland coming over to City and showing what he can do over in Farmers League, which is the Premier League. And then this past offseason, like Jude Bellingham now becoming one of the best players in the world for Real Madrid. So like 3 years in a row, they have, like, I think for them to even be in Champions League, like where they're at, consistently is remarkable. Like, we need to do a case study, and I've always admired them for this, and the way that they build up their youth programs and the way that they sign young players who they see are going to be, like, mega talented, but they get them before everybody else does.
Yeah. They're
the best in the world at doing it.
Man, I know. But that's how you get to be the best in the world, is by developing the talent at all levels, right? You have to go out and get your big-name guys. You also have to have the guys in your system that can come up through and you don't have to spend money on. And if they don't pan out for you, or there's just too many high-level players you have in your lineup, you can sell them off to another team and go make a bunch of money off of them.
The last iteration of this that we had seen kind of before, like the Jadon Sancho, the Erling Haaland. Now, I don't think Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho played there together, but, you know, I mean, Jude Bellingham was on that team, and so was Jadon Sancho. Like, they have a lot of good players. But, like, the last iteration that we saw of that with Borussia Dortmund was Mario Götze, like, when he won the World Cup with Germany, like, the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, half that German team came from, it was them and Bayern. And half of them, it felt like, left Dortmund to go to Bayern.
Mats Hummels was on that team.
Yeah.
Like, great. Now he's back at Dortmund. You had Robert Lewandowski, and then Marco Reus, who had been there for, like, he's still there and is playing for forever. So you had Mario Götze, Mats Hummels, Robert Lewandowski. What do? They lost Robert Lewandowski free on a transfer to Bayern, which has to absolutely hurt. But, like, I mean, it's just been constantly. Like, they've done this forever.
Yeah. It's a thing that they are known for doing. I don't think right now
Christian Pulisic. I mean,
Speaking of course, AC Milan got roasted by PSG 3-0, and that was a game where Pulisic played a full 90 and registered one shot on goal. Not good enough. I know it's PSG. You're probably going to lose that game, but they just looked lifeless and didn't have a lot in the attack, and Pulisic unfortunately didn't have a lot to do with it. Yunus Musa also for AC Milan, don't forget, of course, he's there too. And to me, he's one of those guys that, as important as everyone knows Pulisic is, I think Yunus Musa is more important for the U.S. national team. Yeah. Subbed off after 77 minutes, not his best game ever. So
it's tough too. You look at Real Madrid, them too. You look at AC Milan, what's coming up. You get Napoli in Serie A coming up this weekend.
Who, by the way, shouts to Feyenoord getting Napoli this week. They beat them.
It's so nuts.
I mean, there's a little bit of bizarro world stuff. Not that they're... Feyenoord, again, not a bad team. They're a European champion. That's why they get into this tournament every year. But that I did not see coming against Napoli.
So you get Napoli coming up here this week, and then you get Udinese next week. And then in 2 weeks' time, like, now you're home at the San Siro against PSG. So, like, that group is
that
crazy.
It's
PSG, Dortmund, Newcastle, and AC Milan. Like, that's as good of a Champions League group as you want.
Group of death right there. Yeah. It's tough, man. So, yeah. You're going to have to find something that's unexpected. And
City and Leipzig, like, they're through to the next round, I think, if you look at that. Like, Young Boys and Red Star Belgrade, I don't think that they're going to do anything.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, right.
Barca and Porto probably are going to move on in Group H. Barca looking awesome. Like, they've also kind of had, you know, with this air quotes that I'm using, like, these fines and, you know, sanctions that they've been under. Yeah. Like, they're really leaning into their youth team, too. So, like, that's a fun team to watch right now with what they've going on. Porto always going to be, like, stymie defensively. Like, we kind of know that. They're going to be good. Feyenoord, like you just mentioned, I mean, beating Lazio, like, that group is fun. Celtic getting a nice draw, too, against Atletico. Like, there's just a lot. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on.
It's this is why we love Champions League, right? There's storylines for days. There's amazing soccer to be had. So, yeah, we'll continue to enjoy that and watch it as it goes. But, you know, hoping for AC Milan. For me, I'm rooting for them to try to, you know, get something back in this and try to stay in this tournament, but it's going to be tough for them in that group. It is really difficult. So lots of good soccer though to watch. Speaking of good soccer, Tottenham fans having a year.
You
right?
wait for next year when we talk about you in the Champions League. It's going to happen. I mean,
it is, man, at this
might,
rate.
They might win the league.
Ange Postecoglou,
our guy
on this show, former Celtic manager who has come over, and you get a lot more right than I do on this show, especially when it comes to Premier League. No, you do. You know what you're talking about more than I do with Premier League. But I feel like both of us before this season said Postecoglou is a brilliant hire for Tottenham. We were both very happy with that. I was paying attention to some Celtic football last year, and they were amazing with him. The way I always judge things is how do fan bases react when they lose a guy? And when they lost him, they were like, we get it, but damn. That blows.
Like he was just one of ours.
Yeah, they loved him. And they did not, a lot of them were not high on the hire when he got there. And then he turned them around by being just a brilliant manager. And again, it's the Premier League. Check back in 12 weeks when we're saying, what the hell happened to Ange?
He's fired. He's got sacked.
Yeah, he's on Angie's list now. Yeah. He's doing handiwork. He's not even
actually,
there.
Eric Ten Hag is managing Spurs. Ange is Ange is managing Manchester United.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again,
Pep is managing Liverpool. And Jurgen Klopp's all the way back, and he's taken over the German national team.
It's Halloween coming up this week, and we are talking about Tottenham being the best team in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Did anybody outside of the most, I don't know, excited Tottenham fans have that?
Well, you lost Harry Kane. Like, there was
a ton of Tottenham fans, yeah. I'm sure, looked at that and said, boy, new manager, no Harry Kane.
No goal scorer. Where are the goals coming from?
I hope we can make this work, and yet it's working brilliantly.
Well, they're scoring at a prolific rate. It is the most goals scored by a Premier League team in Premier League history. They were
unreal.
Through nine games.
Oh yeah, it's an early. We're early in the season here, but not that early, right?
I mean what do they have? 23 goals, I think, in nine games. 23 goals in nine games. It's a record, and I believe there were only two guys to do it before that with 22. So, like, Big Ange, Tottenham's setting records.
Yeah,
light the league on fire.
Yeah, they're good. As my guys in Shoresy would say, stick taps to Tottenham. Good job there.
As my guys in Trailer Park Boys would say, there's a shitstorm. Randers.
I'm going to do a wraparound. A little wraparound. That guy. What's that character's name? The drunk guy? It's like stumbling out of their trailer.
Jim Leahy.
Okay.
Yeah, Leahy.
I didn't know his name. I've seen a lot of the clips of him.
He's the best.
He cracks me up. He's great.
Absolute best. I am the liquor, Randy.
Yeah, man. So, we can wrap this up. But just, no, Tottenham fans, we know you're good. And we're not trying to jinx you, or we're not trying to, like, screw with the season.
I'm cheering for you.
Dude, I'm happy for Tottenham fans. I am thrilled for Tottenham fans. As a neutral who just, you know, picks a team randomly every year, I feel great when teams that have long suffered and they're in that weird spot, like you're like 1 degree off of where Manchester United is. Where Manchester United had all the success and then has gone through like 10 years of just what happened,
yeah.
Right? And Tottenham fans have had a lot of, we'd like to be successful. We think we've got the recipe and the formula. We should be better than this. We've spent all this money. We have this new stadium. But they never achieved the great heights that Manchester United did,
right,
that Chelsea have in their time.
They didn't achieve
Manchester
a
City.
Height.
Right. They've never been there. But they're that team that wants to ascend to that level. And every year they've just kind of hit the ceiling and then been like, ah. I mean, yeah, they've been in Champions League here and there.
Champions League final.
It's not like they've been bad at all. Like, they've not been bad totally, but they have definitely had their limits. Now we are seeing potentially startings of a really good season. And it's ironic because it feels like very similar to a team that they all hate in Arsenal last year.
Yep.
Right? How Arsenal last year were like, Is this happening?
Is this real?
Is this for real? We think it's for real. And it turned out it was. They were for real all year. And almost won the whole thing.
I think we did a show last year around the same time talking about, it's like the exact same thing. Talking about Arsenal, be like, let's check back in after the World Cup.
Well, yeah,
and
right.
See, like, what's going on. But it kind of feels that way.
Boy,
with Tottenham this year.
You know what you've done? You've helped me really put things in perspective as we wrap up the show. Because this time last year, what were we doing?
Stressing
and losing our minds trying to make all those World Cup podcasts. Jesus. How are we going to get all this done? And now this year, I'm like, God, I'm so busy. If only I didn't have...
It's almost like
every year I'm busy.
Yeah.
So maybe I just need to get comfortable with being busy and figure it out. A little pep talk from me to me. Thank you. And we'll end the show on that. Thank you for listening. Send us ideas for t-shirts, merch, if you want us to do that. If you don't, tell us to F off. That's fine, too.
By the way, Manchester Derby this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Manchester Derby, big-time deal. Also, you have the, why am I blanking on, El Clasico.
Yep.
You have Real Madrid, Barcelona, where Barcelona's wearing the Rolling Stone jerseys. Did you see that?
I did.
They're sponsored by Spotify. Yep. Spotify said Rolling Stone's new album coming out, first new music in decades or whatever, so we're going to put their logo on that jersey for this game. So, very cool thing. I actually saw one of those out in the wild. Looks sharp.
Does it?
Yeah, if you like the Rolling Stones, I could see they're going to sell a billion of those jerseys.
Did you beat the guy up when you were wearing your Luka Modric jersey?
No, I didn't. I'm not beating anybody up.
Yes, you are.
Over soccer
You're
rivalries.
A hooligan.
No. Well, I do have a tattoo. I have two tattoos. Yeah. Not again. I actually am going to get a whole sleeve. So, be prepared for that.
And a neck tat.
Yeah.
Bone will cut your face
off. The next tattoo is going to read midlife crisis right there in old English. The way we're going to do that.
In Mustang font.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You got it, buddy. That's it. All right. We'll see you guys later. Thanks again. Tweet us at Bone Beam United. Leave us a review as well on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week.